Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, October 28th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Latinos make up a large share of California's population, and new research is taking a closer look at a chronic health problem.
Latino health overall remains quite good in many ways. However, obesity and diabetes rate are threatening that achievement.
What's behind the obesity problem among Latinos? The conversation in just a minute, but first, these headlines. California Governor Gavin Newsom says he will make a decision on whether to run for the White House after the midterm elections next year. Newsom's been trying to raise his national profile under the new Trump administration. He's adopted a combative style that parodies President Trump's social media strategy. Newsom has sparred this year with Trump's deployment of the California National Guard and redistricting moves in Texas. Newsom's right now leading a campaign to redraw California's own maps to add 5 Democratic U.S. House seats. That election is 1 week away from today on November 4th. ICE officials apprehended a British journalist on a U.S. speaking tour this past weekend for alleged support of terrorism. Arlen Levy from our California newsroom partner KALW has more on the arrest of Sami Hamdi at the San Francisco airport.
Hamdi was in the U.S. on a visitor visa. He was on his way to speak at a gala for the Council on American-Islamic Relations, or CARE, in Florida. His visa has since been revoked and he's being held at the Golden State Annex facility in Kern County. CARE blamed the far-right influencer Laura Loomer for the incident after she called for his detention online. This is at least the second time a post from Laura Loomer has influenced Department of Homeland Security's operations. CARE's executive director, Zahra Bilu, says this sets a new precedent.
Sami's kidnapping opens a new front because most prior targeted individuals were student activists. We have, however, seen journalists being targeted. Sami is the most prominent of those now.
When asked for comment, the DHS sent KALW a link to a post on X, saying they will continue to revoke the visas of people who engage in terrorism. In San Francisco, I'm Arlen Levy.
The military says 2 fighter jets were lost in the South China Sea this past weekend. The jets were conducting routine operations when they went down in separate crashes. In total, 5 Navy personnel were involved, but all made it out safely. One of the fighter jets was stationed at the local naval base in Lemoore, while the other was from San Diego. The military says it is continuing to investigate the incidents. A federal grand jury charged a Porterville teenager on Monday for a host of disturbing allegations. Prosecutors say the teen is accused of so-called animal cruelty, sexual exploitation of a minor, cyber stalking, and making an interstate threat. Prosecutors also allege the teen belongs to a violent extremist group known as 746. The group is part of a network of organizations that seek to, quote, terrorize and destabilize communities, according to federal prosecutors. Wildlife officials say they've euthanized 4 gray wolves recently in California's Sierra Nevada. Officials say they were forced to kill the wolves due to what they say is an unprecedented level of livestock attacks. The wolves were killed in the Sierra Valley. That's about an hour north of Tahoe National Forest. Ranchers have complained about the threat from gray wolves on their livestock in recent years. Recently, the gray wolf population has been growing despite being nearly wiped out in California over the last century.
If you start your day with Central Valley Daily and are looking for a companion program in the afternoon, there's All Things Considered. Hi, I'm Sarith Hawk. Each weekday afternoon, I'm on KVPR's broadcast, bringing you the day's local and national news. Join me for All Things Considered, weekdays from 3:30 to 6 on KVPR. You can also stream us online at kvpr.org, through your smart speaker, and on the KVPR app.
And now to our main story. Central California has a large population of Latinos, and new research is highlighting some negative health trends among the group, namely obesity. Across the valley, Latinos are more likely to be overweight than their non-Latino counterparts, and that trend is especially true among children. Diet, culture, and lifestyle all play a role, according to our guest today, journalist Tim Sheehan. He's a reporter with our news partner, The Intersection, an outlet of the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. Sheehan is out with new reporting that also finds factors like stress are contributing to the obesity issue hitting the Latino population. Those findings are based on new research by the California Healthcare Foundation, which recently published a Latino Health Almanac. To explore this research, I spoke with Tim a bit more, and he starts a conversation by explaining the purpose of this report.
The big impetus for producing this almanac, and the foundation does a number of different reports focusing on different races or ethnicities and healthcare disparities, healthcare issues facing them. With this particular publication, and it's got an accompanying data dashboard, are generally intended to bring clearer awareness to health professionals and advocates in the Latino community about the health disparities or disadvantages that that portion of our population, both U.S.-born and foreign-born people of Latino or Hispanic descent, face in terms of healthcare.
Yeah, you report that obesity among Latinos is higher than among non-Latinos. So why does this have doctors and healthcare experts concerned? Can you dig into that a little bit?
Sure. Well, for people of any race or ethnicity, there's a wide range of health risks associated with it, with obesity. There are things like diabetes, heart disease, stroke, fatty liver disease, some forms of cancer, osteoarthritis, gout, kidney disease, and also pregnancy and fertility problems. And being no particular lightweight myself, unfortunately, I found the information in this almanac and the data personally relevant as well as professionally intriguing.
And you found this issue of obesity among Latinos is actually worse among children, right?
It is, yes. One of the data points in the almanac is that obesity rates for kids, at least at the fifth grade level, are pretty uniformly higher across the state and across the valley for Latino children than among Latino adults, and also higher than for white children at the same age level. The disparity here in Fresno County, for instance, the disparity between Latino and non-Latino children, there's a 18 percentage point disparity among kids between Latino and white kids, compared to just 2 percentage points difference between adults of Latino and non-Latino heritage. And Dr. Alicia Fernandez from UCSF had some thoughts about that.
Latino health overall remains quite good in many ways, with less mortality than the white or African-American populations. That is largely driven by good health among foreign-born Latinos. However, obesity and diabetes rate are threatening that achievement, and it is particularly worrisome among our youth and for pregnancy.
I encourage people to look at your report online because there are some maps and visuals, too, that sort of illustrate this data.
Right.
Now, you included an interesting finding in your reporting about the connection between Latinos and their immigrant backgrounds and how that might contribute to obesity. So what did health experts tell you is a potential sort of lifestyle and diet connection here?
Well, one of the other things that Dr. Fernandez mentioned is that research shows a growing concern over obesity among foreign-born Latinos because of the higher prevalence of processed foods in the American diet compared to their own country of origin, whether that's Mexico or another Latin American country. And depending on their work or lifestyle, people may become more sedentary in their work or in their habits after migrating to the U.S. One of the things that she said is that diet is one of the main features.
Okay, so the federal government right now is taking a pretty sharp approach to cracking down on immigrants in the country without legal status, and that's obviously something that has hit the Latino community particularly hard. And as you note, there are potentially health implications regarding those actions too. So can you outline what those are?
Yes. One of the concerns that Latino health experts have is the growing immigration enforcement efforts that are creating a greater sense of stress among Latinos. And stress, as we all know, has impacts on health. As I've reported previously, it's also making Latino immigrants nervous about keeping their medical appointments at health clinics because of fears of immigration raids by federal agents. Now, there's also cuts to the federal Medicaid program, or Medi-Cal here in California, that are also making it more challenging for people to go through the application and verification process. Sandra Hernandez of the California Healthcare Foundation also had some thoughts about how the Latino community feels pressured or stressed by those efforts.
Latinos in California are being targeted, harassed, and intimidated by federal agents and federal policies. The collection of data, the reporting of data, and efforts at achieving progress are systematically being attacked. In California and across the country, the Medicaid program, Medi-Cal as we know it, is slated for deep cuts, and onerous new requirements for enrollment are underway.
Yeah, and as mentioned, some of the personal data folks are starting to feel anxious about putting out there with their doctors and such. That's another factor.
Sure.
One of the important issues to address when it comes to healthcare is obviously our shortage of doctors. So the Valley has a chronic shortage of physicians, but is there a particular concern that we don't have enough Latino doctors to serve this population that is seeing so many health disparities?
There's absolutely a concern about that here in the Valley, particularly across California. Latinos represent about 40% or so of the state's population. And the number of actively practicing primary care physicians who are Latino is about 12.2 doctors per 100,000 population.
Wow.
In the Valley, where Latinos compose more than half of the population, the rate of Latino doctors is even lower at just 8.4 per 100,000 population.
So this makes me wonder how much sort of offering culturally competent care is important for our region, where we have not only a large Latino population, but really just diverse communities in general, right?
Absolutely. I think that just like many female patients probably tend to feel more comfortable with female doctors, members of the Latino population are more likely to be comfortable with Latino healthcare providers who can communicate with them in their own language and are familiar with their culture. Dr. Fernandez reported that for Latinos with diabetes, for example, when they switch to a Spanish-speaking doctor, they have better outcomes, better control over their condition than those who have a doctor that does not speak Spanish.
And I would think even there would be trends among certain populations based on foods we eat and things like that, that would probably be beneficial as well to have a doctor that understands
community
aspects.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, doctors are one thing, but what about insurance and healthcare? How does that factor into the health of Latinos facing chronic illnesses?
Sure. Well, poverty is more prevalent among the Latino community in the Valley than across the overall population in the region. That makes healthcare costs a big concern when families are trying to figure out how to divvy up their household budgets, whether it's for rent or their mortgage or food or utilities, or in this case, healthcare costs or insurance premiums.
Tim Sheehan, reporter with our news partner, The Intersection and the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. Always great to have you in the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And that is today's show. Have a story idea for Central Valley Daily or maybe some feedback? Send us a message. Email podcast@kvpr.org. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. You can find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Sources and methods, the crown jewels of the intelligence community. Shorthand for how do we know what's real? Who told us? If you have those answers, you're on the inside, and NPR wants to bring you there. From the Pentagon to the State Department to spy agencies, listen to understand what's really happening and what it means for you. Sources and Methods, the new national security podcast from NPR.